This is Karen Lyle of SalesPort Talk, and I've been having a continuing conversation with Sir Robin Knox Johnson. He is in Portsmouth, Hampshire, England, and of course I am here in the San Francisco Bay Area in California, the United States, and we have been discussing the time at sea and also gardening.
You were actively involved in sailing and ocean voyaging.
Yeah, you know, I went to sea when I was 17 and a half in the Merchant Marine, and we had the most fantastic training. I mean, bear in mind, in those days, Britain had 18% of all merchant ships, and we had a really good system set up for it. And I stayed at sea for the next 12 years, and then the trip around the world came up, and I did that. But after I'd done it, the whole system was changing, and I didn't like the way it was going. So I left the sea. And I built a marina on the Hamble with a bunch of friends. And, you know, I got into yachting, if you like. But, you know, it was time to change. Things were changing. The British Merchant Marine was collapsing. And it wasn't a good time to be there because you're going to be made redundant. So I probably picked the right time to get out. But after that, you know, I raced. I was in business, obviously, and I went to Oxford Business School. I still like my racing, so I kept on racing. I won the Round Britain race twice. I was in the British Admirals Cup team, the Whitbread race. I beat the Frenchman Tarbury in both legs I skippered. And then I went on to do other things like winning the multi-hull world championship. You know, I was just racing because I loved racing. And my poor wife used to put up with it, but... Occasionally she got me home and she'd say, the garden needs sorting out. And you say, reluctantly, okay, I better do this.
Do you like gardening?
Actually, I love gardening. There's nothing better to me than watching spring when everything's starting to grow and what you planted is coming up and looking at it. I love gardening. I live in Portsmouth. We're fairly crammed in here. It's a city. 200,000 people, and I've only got a yard really with about 3 square meters of garden, but I've got plants in there which I love and I nurture. And what I'd really like is a lot more space to grow a lot more plants.
Thank you, Sir Robin, for that lovely chat. This past weekend, I took a tour of the San Francisco Bay in my sailboat Sandpiper and spotted 3 signal flags, CG over 1, on the port side of the San Francisco Yacht Club's mast. Those familiar with maritime history know that this configuration states, I will stand by to assist you. The San Francisco Maritime Association hopes that yacht clubs around the world might also fly these flags. I will stand by to assist you. That is a great message. This is Karen Lyle of SalesPort Talk.
All right, thank you for that, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, coast to coast and around the world on American Forces Radio Network. That, of course, music means one thing. It means to check in at 9:40 a.m. out here on the West Coast with Karen Lyle from SalesportTalk.com. How are you, Karen?
I'm doing great, Rick. You know, we're on our 160th show today.
Amazing, and we have a guest today. Could you introduce our guest, please?
Yes. So this is Dawn Riley, and this is her third time with us on SalesPort Talk. And we first talked to Dawn when she was involved in the Clipper Around the World race, which is one of the reasons I put Sir Robin Knox Johnson up in there and in the 3 minutes before that many of you can hear. So Dawn, it's such a great opportunity to have you come back and tell us what you're doing. How are you doing? Where are you calling from today?
I'm at my desk in Oyster Bay, New York, and chaos is happening all around, which is a typical day at Oak Cliff.
And so I understand that you might be participating in a race coming up. Can you tell us what your plans are?
A race? So there's...
I mean, the ones that you have on the books.
There's lots of them. So, like, the one I think you're talking about is the Bermuda race. So we have 100-plus boats here, and of those, we have 4 Far 40s and a Kerr 50, a Judel Vrolik 66, which is not doing the Bermuda, and an OC 86, which is doing. So we're going to have a lot of people going to Bermuda, and I will be on OC-86, which is the old WindQuest that was donated to us from the DeVos family, and that will be a mix with a sponsor, and we are also, that's a boat that we set the record for the Baby Mackinac last year.
You know, I think about the America's Cup, which was an all-males club up until the 1990s, and you qualified. Is it the kind of thing where you just want to sail, you just want to race, but people are going to say, oh, you're a trailblazer, you're a role model? Is that something to which you aspire to, or you just kind of found yourself in that situation?
I just freaking wanted to go sailing.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you get those spots, and I'm not going to say opportunities because that means somebody gave you something,
mm-hmm.
which everybody gives everybody else something. I mean, that's the way it is. But I was able to, you know, earn those positions. And then, of course, I turned it around and tried to bring other people up because it is not fair. Obviously, discrimination is not fair. And you have to not only help somebody who hasn't been allowed the opportunity, but somebody who's been beaten down or doesn't believe it's possible or has never seen anybody looking like them in those top positions, you have to do more. You have to ask 2, 3, 4 times to get them to even believe that it's an option. And then you start to train.
Don, you have a mixed roles in your life. You are out there sailing and actively doing it, but you also teach and instruct and have some influence on the coming generations of sailors. What have you been doing in that territory?
Well, right now, I mentioned I'm at Oak Cliff, and to give you an idea, we have a program. Because it's Oak Cliff, like an oak tree on a cliff, we came up with our training programs because they're like nothing else. We named them Acorns and Saplings. We have Winter Saplings who are on site. They're currently working with Dobbs Davis, a measure, to do a full ORCI measurement of a class 40 and 2 FAR 40s. So they're weighing rigs, they're doing safety gear, they're training. And in the winter, our saplings do a lot more of this type of thing. It helps you if you're doing bow on a boat to know how the mast is put together. So they're putting together the mast, they're measuring, they're going and learning how to do all the maintenance on that. Then in the summer, we have the programs that do some of the apprenticeship, but really focus on the sailing. So those are the people that will be doing the race to Bermuda. One of the teams we have is a group of mostly girls, or all girls, mostly from the same high school up in Newport. And then we have Libby Greenlaw from England, and a girl from South Africa as a boat captain, a young woman from South Africa. So that's an all-women's team. I think the average age is 19, so they'll be the youngest team to do the Bermuda race ever as well.
Wow, Don, and I think about all the times you sailed around the world in 4 different competitions. Is there a certain point that you have great dread, like maybe going around the Cape or maybe a certain squall? Or is it to you just everything is, I don't want to say old hat, but you kind of think, I got this?
So just to clarify, I went around the world twice. I did 4 America's Cups. I like the America's Cup better. But when you're out there and it's going to, you know, the wind's coming in and the storms are coming in, it's adrenaline. It's fun. I think what you dread, honestly, is coming to shore because the sailing stops. But then on some level, you dread going back into the race because the party stops. So once you get into it, you love both of them.
Don, we were interviewing Sean O'Halloran, who was in your mm-hmm. program, when he was in New Zealand just for the America's Cup, and he credited some of the background that he got from the training he received in Oak Cliff's professional development program. You remember Sean?
Of course, Sean. I just went to his and Nora's wedding about a month and a half ago. So he's great.
That's great.
Yeah, and I think he will. I'm not making any announcements, but I'm pretty sure that they will have him back for this next cup. He's a great person on shore, mechanics. His work ethic is incredible, and I'd like to take 100% of the credit for Oak Cliff, but he came to us pretty determined.
Talking with Don Riley, a pioneer in the sailing game, could you regale us with a tale or two about a moment of great peril, or have you been pretty much unscathed?
Well, the great peril, you generally believe that you're safe, But that's because you are looking, you're prepared, you're trying to get out there, you've done everything you can, and so when it happens, you believe you're prepared. The only time you're actually afraid is after, when you realize how close you could have come to disaster. But knock on wood, while we've had some knockdowns and we've had some, you know, damage and rudders breaking, that's just part of the competition and part of the sport. It doesn't feel like peril at that point.
Well, just to follow up, what was the worst one? Was it the rudder? What was the one where you kind of thought, oh, we're really screwed here?
The rudder coming around Cape Horn was, so we lost the rudder before Cape Horn. We came around, and then we were in a strait. So there was 16 knots of wind against 4 knots of current, which meant the waves were breaking. You know, when in San Francisco, everybody in there knows what it looks like under the gate when it's an ebb flood tide wind. No, ebb tide. Whichever way. I haven't been there in a while. So that was pretty crazy, and we only had half a rudder, so we were not completely in control in those conditions.
Don, how do you handle it? You know, just be a little technical for me about when your rudder goes out, and you have. I know sometimes you can have replacement rudders, but there are ways of controlling the boat without a rudder. Can you explain that to us?
It 100% depends on your boat. I actually spoke in Annapolis at the Safety at Sea. So if you're in a dinghy, and they make you do this with your body weight and the sails, so you can absolutely, sailing is balance. If you're racing the America's Cup and you can keep your heel angle, even if we're talking the, you know, the crazy flying boats, they want to have their heel angle steady. That means everything's in balance and you're using all inertia to go forward. So if with a tiny boat, weight, crew weight and sails. With a old fashioned boat with a big long keel, you lose your steering for whatever reason. The rudders don't generally fall off on that, but maybe they break. You can also use the sails and the lateral force of the long keel. On boats that are more modern with the spade rudder and the narrow cord length on the keel, you really need to have a system that is not traditional. So we came up with a system that is called the bucket trimming. So you basically take a bunch of junk, drogues, buckets, whatever, and you put it in the water, you tie it to a snatch block, and the snatch block is attached to a line across the back of the boat, and you just winch it from one side to the other. So it'd be the equivalent, to put it in layman's terms, of when you have a canoe and you're trying to turn the canoe with the aft paddle, and you put it out further to the right or more under the canoe or on the left side. That's how you steer without a rudder. It's not fast, but it works.
Don, do you have like a, lack of a better term, like a holy grail destination race or something that you haven't done yet that you'd love to do?
Not really. I love the America's Cup. I love being involved in all different levels of that. I've already done the round the world racing. I've been lucky enough to win a 1-ton cup in Saint-Tropez. I don't mind the south of France. I've never been to Greece, but there's not necessarily a race there.
Don, do you have someone who is up and coming that you've either been mentoring or watching that you think is someone we should pay attention to because of their rising talent?
Almost our whole class, our first sapling class, have been doing great. And then, so Madeline Gills at North Sails. We have a series that we're doing, grads doing great. Jacob Kowalski's from San Francisco. He's doing great. Max Brennan from Long Beach. Irvin Grove is running the North Loft in Charleston. And then, like, Ethan Johnson, our training program director, I don't want him to go anywhere, but he will eventually do an offshore race, either shorthanded or fully crewed. Mark and Charlie, of course, are our graduates. You know, so we really have got that mat tracing offshore, you know, industry. The challenge right now is at the Olympic level, and we're working on that with Paul Caird and U.S. Sailing, but that's probably the biggest challenge. But we have a whole lot of people out there. We have over almost 400 graduates that are in the industry, and they're all doing great things. We just have to, there's so many of them, it's hard to pick out one.
And
that's okay.
And finally, the American True Foundation, how can people find out more about it?
Oh, yes. So America True was the America's Cup from 2000. So that was my third America's Cup. It was a mixed team. It was San Francisco Yacht Club with a bunch of true ally clubs like South Beach and all over the country, Southwestern and San Diego. And that foundation worked for a long time to encourage community sailing programs. So many community sailing programs are working so well. We've taken that, and now there's a scholarship fund. We already scholarship at Oak Cliff up to 50% on a need basis. The America True Foundation allows us to go an additional 25%. So somebody who is from a graduate of a community sailing program is keen to come, gets a hold of us at Oak Cliff, and the rate is like $1,100 a week. So you could bring that down to $250 a week, including all training, room, and board on a need basis. So we're really, really proud of that. And that is actually the hardest message to get out there, because we're all talking in our own circles. We need to expand our circles of who we're talking to, more diversity, more outreach constantly.
There she is, Dawn Riley, one of the pioneers, one of the greatest sailors in the history of this country. Dawn, thanks for coming on again. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Have an awesome day, you guys.
And Karen, good to hear from you as well, and we'll see you out on the water.
Yes, we will.